So glad today to have a brother with us from Lebanon, and I'm looking forward to hearing the preaching of the Word of God this morning. We appreciate so much his presentation during the Sunday School Hour, bringing us up to date on what's taking place there in Lebanon, and also their outreach to the Muslim world and preaching the gospel, but also teaching and training the next generation of pastors there in the Muslim world. So I'm going to have a brother come at this time and share what the Lord has laid on your heart.
Thank you. It's really my pleasure to be with you this morning. Let's open our Bible to the book of John, chapter 4. I will read from verse 1 to 42. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her waterpot, and went her way into the city, and says to the man, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him out to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, or ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. Inside the heart of every human being, there is an emptiness that needs to be filled. And from the very first years of our childhood, we try to fill this emptiness without being aware of its existence. We try to get everything around us for ourselves, kids and even babies. They try to get all the toys they like, thinking that they will be the happiest kids when they get those toys. And as soon as they get what they want, they neglect it and start to search for something else. And we grow up carrying this emptiness in our life, and we try to fill it with many things around us, but no real answer to this emptiness. And we will not have, believe me, rest. We will not have rest until we find the real answer to it. This emptiness that we are talking about is called the need for worship. When God designed us and created us, he created us with that need inside our hearts. Augustine said, no matter how long we search, we never find complete wholeness, contentment, and happiness on earth. We always want more. We will only find this happiness we seek when we turn our search to within us. For within us we find God. And this illumination quenches our thirst and brings peace, ultimate knowledge, and happiness. And in his famous confession, he also said, You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. In this passage, we see a woman who had tried everything in her life to fill this emptiness. She thought that in marriage, she could find the answer, so she tried it 5 times. And finally, she gave up, so she decided to live with a 6th man, without marriage. She was frustrated, for she tried everything in her life, but no answer. And at that point, when man gives up from trying, the Lord knocks on the door of his heart. And believing Jesus is seeking to answer this need in the hearts of people. And he is the real answer for aching hearts. But the problem is that most of the people, they try to fill this emptiness outside, away of Jesus. No Jesus. Jesus is seeking to reach aching hearts, and he wants to fill it with hope. During his ministry, Jesus left no one without answering his needs. All the people who came to him, he answered their needs. But sometimes he went to people because he saw the need in their lives and he wanted to answer their need. And this woman was from the people that Jesus went to meet her need, went to her and to meet her need. Because when Jesus sees the need, he cannot but act. He has to act. And according to this passage, we see two main things that Jesus did. To answer the aching hearts of this woman, he first saw the need and was moved with compassion. And then he overcame many barriers to meet this need, to answer this need. So he saw the need and was moved with compassion, and then he overcame many barriers. First, Jesus saw the need and was moved with compassion. The Bible says that the Lord, as we have read, must needs go through Samaria. And of course, we all know that Samaritans was not regarded from the Jews, because later the Bible says, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But saying that the Lord had to go through Samaria does not mean that there was no other way for the Lord to go from Judea to Galilee. Because if a Jew decided not to pass through Samaria, he could do that, but this will require from him a longer way. He has to go through Berea. He has to take the other side of the Jordan River and go. And this, in fact, is mentioned also in the Bible. In Mark 10:1, the Bible says about Jesus when he wanted to return once to Judea. He was taking the he was coming down. So, and the Bible says, and he arose from thence and cometh into the coasts of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. So he took another way. The Bible said that. And he could have done this time also if he didn't want to pass through Samaria. But what made a must for Jesus to go through Samaria? It is his plan to meet this woman, to meet her aching heart, her desperate need, her aching heart. There is no such things as coincidence that called in Jesus' ministry and in Jesus' work and our work. There is no coincidence. Everything is planned according to God's will, according to his eternal will. And here he planned to meet her aching heart. And if we want to reach people around us, we have to be like Jesus. We have to see the need. He saw the need, and he was moved with compassion, and he planned to meet this lady, to meet her need. And if we leave these things, if we saw the need, and we leave it to circumstances, coincidence, we will end up reaching no one. We will end up answering no one's call. Because Satan is there, and he is ready to distract people. But we have to act and we have to plan as Jesus did, and in order to answer and reach people outside our boundaries, outside our area, even to places we have never thought of, and people, they are in need there. In this passage, the disciples wanted just to pass quickly through Samaria. But Jesus had other plan. Jesus stopped in Samaria, and the disciples went to bring. But because this was planned from Jesus. Jesus, for him, it was different. He wanted to save people in Samaria. And we have to ask ourselves, do we have Jesus' eyes? Do we have Jesus' heart and see the need around us? And what are we doing to reach those people that we can see there in need? And the people that are outside our boundaries, outside our area, when we see what are our plans, everything, we have to ask ourselves, what are our plans to reach those people? People in places and countries that we have never thought before, and we have never tried to reach them. And we thank the Lord for your church, for your caring, for your love to the ministry, and for your love to the work in the Arab countries that some people are not aware of, but you are really already involved in this work. But believe me, the Lord is doing miracles in this part of the world. The Lord is saving people, and he is saving more and more people. The people that are coming to Christ, even though that opposition is getting bigger, we can see people are seeking the Lord, and the Lord is saving people from, and they are searching for something. They are searching for the truth. They don't know the real answer for their aching hearts. I will share with you something that happened with my brother while he was in Jordan. My brother, he used to be four years as a missionary in Jordan. And once he was there, and he took a taxi to go to a place. And the taxi driver asked him, what do you do for a living? My brother answered him, I teach the Bible. And the taxi driver, he is a Muslim. He told him, do you know that the Messiah is coming? And my brother was he thought he is not hearing him well, but he told him, of course I know, but how do you know that? And this taxi driver told him that there is a sheikh, the Muslim priest, you know, he every Friday he is teaching and preaching to his people about the Mahdi, the Messiah that is coming at the end times. And all the people, they resort to him around this place, and they listen to him eagerly. They want to see what he is teaching. And they record his messages on a tape. And within 24 hours, all the tapes are sold out. People are searching. What I'm trying to share with you, the people in this place and around the world, they are really searching for the cry of their aching hearts, and the Lord is answering people and saving lots of them. The Lord is at work, and we have to join Him. But sometimes you see the need and you want to move, and you move to work, but you face many barriers. What did Jesus do with those barriers? Second, Jesus overcame many barriers to meet her need. According to this story, to this Bible passage, we see that first barrier that Jesus overcame was a racial barrier. Jesus was a Jew and the lady was Samaritan. And the Bible says that for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The problem was that Samaritans were a mix of Jews and pagans, because after the first exile, the Assyrians invaded the northern kingdom around 720 BC, and they had also a policy to destroy the remaining of the nations where they invade, and they had the policy to mingle those nations with other nations, and they will destroy the race. And because that had happened to the northern kingdom, the Jews looked at them as unclean race. But for Jesus, this barrier meant nothing. In fact, he planned all his trip to meet this lady. And this was not a common thing, a Jew talking to a Samaritan. That's why the lady was surprised when Jesus addressed her. But Jesus overcame this barrier because he saw the need in her heart and he wanted to change her life. And it's a question that we ask ourselves: are there racial barriers hindering us from reaching needy people, needy person for Christ? And those barriers are everywhere. Racial barrier is a problem everywhere around the world. Here in the States, in Lebanon, in every country, those barriers are present. And to be able to overcome this problem, we have to have Jesus' eyes and his heart also. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This verse said God so loved the world, the whole world, all the nations, all the races. He loved every kind of people, and no racial barriers hindered him from reaching them. And if we want to be like Jesus, we need to have his love, his heart, his tender heart, and his eyes also. God's love for the world overcomes any racial barrier. The second barrier that Jesus overcame was a social barrier. By talking to this woman, Jesus was stepping over social traditions. Jesus was a rabbi, a master who has disciples following him. And in his time, a Jewish master was very careful with whom he talks, he speaks and what he speaks, and especially with women. For instance, a Jewish master would not address a woman in the street in order not to be blamed from his disciples, because he has to be a good example for his disciples, for his followers. And if that was true for a Jewish master talking and dealing with a Jewish woman openly, how much more the situation was difficult here with Jesus dealing with a Samaritan woman. And not only that, this woman was a prostitute. Whole Samaria know about her. Jesus overcame this barrier because he wanted to fill the emptiness that is inside her heart. Jesus would not listen to vain traditions that would hinder him from reaching people with his salvation. So are we supposed to give up from reaching others because of some social barriers? Jesus did not, and we should not stop also. We need to stretch ourselves beyond our social boundaries if we want to reach people for Christ. Is there any other barrier? Sure. Lots of barriers. We have political barriers. We have cultural barriers, and so on. Many. We will not go through all of these barriers. But reaching others for Christ is our cause, and we are required to do it Jesus' way. Jesus made an eternal plan to save people from the wages of sin. He saw the need in the human, in the mankind. Mankind is dead in sin. He saw this need. He planned to incarnate and died for us on the cross. His plan is not yet accomplished. He entrusted us to fulfill his eternal plan by taking the gospel message, taking what he can do, how he really can change lives, and those thirsty souls that are reaching and they are asking for Jesus and they are not aware of his existence. He is the living water. He said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the question is, what is my role in this eternal plan? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for your word. We thank you so much for willing to work through us, for entrusting us to this great commission, taking the gospel message to people that are in need around us and everywhere. We ask you to help us in fulfilling this great commission, because it is your work, not ours. It is your strength that we seek, not ours. And we rely upon you to accomplish this work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.